Well, good afternoon. It is the day before
the day
Christmas
before,
Eve.
That's right. It's Christmas Eve Eve.
There's a lot of churches that do they call it the Adam before Eve service.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, my church is doing that.
Is it really? Yeah. That's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we're glad that you joined us on this edition of Discovery Podcast. We're going to do something which we've been doing for the last couple of years on this particular day. Pastor John Hibbard served on our board for many years.
Wow.
Was the pastor at Pemberton's First Baptist for 30 years. He had this most amazing sense of humor. And we had a concert scheduled, a Christmas dinner concert with Buddy Green from the Gaithers, and it got snowed out.
Wow.
Well, it got snowed out for Buddy. So the staff very graciously put together a last-minute Christmas concert.
Of course they did.
But a part of this was Pastor Hibbard sharing a message, his version of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Enjoy it on this Discovery
so cool.
Victory Podcast.
For my next number, I would like to sing. I'd like to do a lot of things, but I don't think I'm going to sing tonight. Dr. Weldy called just a couple of hours ago now and said, would I play? That's the first mistake I made. Asking Carolyn to play, that's no problem. I volunteer her all the time. And then he asked me to bring some semblance of order to the banquet, and so I thought I would share with you a very familiar story that all of you know. And you'll be able to enter into it, I'm sure. At this season of the year, we are excited. I mean, anticipation is running high. If you've been good, I suppose you're happy. If you've been not so good like Joyce, you may not get anything for Christmas, but whatever. It's a time of anticipation nonetheless. I'm sure, even though she doesn't think she's going to get something, I'm sure something will be there for her. Don't you? I think so. But beyond that, it is a time of anticipation. And I'm reminded of a text that takes us back to your childhood. And some of you, maybe you can't remember that far back, but it's a story that is told, and I'd like to from a preacher's standpoint, look at it, because it really breaks down, as I look at this particular text, into three distinct areas, and I just like to share them with you. So you know, when we get to the third one, I'm almost finished. The first thing I'd like to share with you about that which I'm going to share with you tonight is the anticipation of the coming of Santa. Now, he's already been here tonight. He's an ugly-looking dude. But he's already been here. And we don't know where he went. Hopefully he knows where he's going. But let me just share some thoughts with you from this very important text that you know very well. It was written by a Mr. Moore. And it goes something like this. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Now, I want you to notice something. We're not going to go verse by verse in this, but I just would like to know, let you know that what he's saying here is, and he wants to get it across to you and me, it was the night before Christmas. Did you get that? He didn't say it was the 12th day before Christmas. He didn't say it was the 8th day or the whatever day. It was the night before Christmas. Anticipation for the coming of Santa. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, listen to this, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Now you know that it had to be the house, don't you? I mean, it tells us right in the text that it is, but you know it wasn't the church, don't you? Because people stir in churches. Telephones go off in churches. iPads are played with in churches. People talk in churches. People don't pay attention in churches, but not here. The anticipation was so great that there was not a creature stirring, not even a little mouse. Such was the anticipation of Santa's coming. And it tells us something about this anticipation is that these folks had their stockings. It says the stockings were hung by the chimney with care. Why? In anticipation, in hopes that Saint Nicholas, Santa, would soon be there. Isn't that amazing? I mean, they're excited. In fact, the anticipation is running high. Listen to this. And I took great time to study this in the original text. It says, the children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums, I don't quite understand that, danced in their heads. But listen to this, and I think this helps you to understand where the children were coming from. I looked up, it was my privilege to study the Pennsylvania Dutch in seminary. And in the Pennsylvania Dutch language, in the original, not in the one some other weird kind of version, but in the original Pennsylvania Dutch, the word nestled comes from the word nestle, which, listen, you got to get this, which really means nestly. You get the picture? Warmth. Doesn't that conjure up warmth to your mind? Chocolate. Oh, my goodness. And that's what he's saying here in the text. He wants you to, don't miss it. These children were warm where they were. They felt snuggled in their beds. They felt healthy where they were. And while they were there, I don't know what they had to eat before they went to bed, but these sugar plums were dancing in their heads. I don't understand that, and I don't want to bring a false interpretation. Perhaps it was that they had had pizza before they went. I don't know, but these visions were dancing in their heads. And I noticed this. Now, I'm just going to read it, and I want you to listen, because this is very important. It says, "And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap." Now, does that sound strange to you? Huh? Now, I don't know what you wear to bed, and I don't want to get into it. I mean, it's not none of my business what you wear to bed. But I want to tell you, a kerchief and a cap? I don't know, but these are strange people. But wait a minute. They are anticipating the coming of Santa. I'll never understand it, however, and I looked in the original, and I can't find out what they're saying, except that it must have been some sign of anticipation. I don't know. It says, while they were in this state, out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter. He sprang from his bed to see what was the matter. I don't want to laugh at him, but can you imagine him jumping out of bed, just a cap on his head, throwing open the shutters? I don't understand. He says, and it's what it says in the text. It says, "And away to the window I flew like a flash. He tore open the shutters. He threw up the sash. Yeah. I don't know, but there he was. And then this beautiful, it says, "The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow gave the luster of midday to the objects below." Isn't that sweet? But you see, this is all because they were anticipating. The anticipation was so high in the coming of Santa. Secondly, tonight, notice in the text the coming of Santa. It says, "And what to my wandering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. Now, I'm not going to read into this, but we are glad in a little bit that they were tiny reindeer. You'll find out in a minute. But he said when he saw the little old driver, he was lively and quick. This guy with the cap on his head said, I knew in a moment, it must be St. Nick. This is the guy we're waiting for. This is why we're all ready. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came. He whistled and shouted. He called them by name. Can you imagine that? Listen to what he said. Now, Dasher, now, Dancer, now, Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. Now, do you notice anything that's not there? Ah, Rudolph the Red, the communist guy. I mean, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He not there. I wonder what happened to him. He's not there, however. And Mr. Moore, in writing the text, must have missed it. But at least we know that Rudolph was there. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. Just keep that in the back of your head because that's important in just a moment. So up to the house, top the coursers they flew. Why doesn't he say reindeer? Coursers. Who ever heard of coursers? Coursers they flew with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. Remember what we read earlier in the text? Tiny reindeer, little old man. Aren't you glad they are little and tiny? They're up on the roof prancing and dancing or whatever they're doing, making a mess of things. And you're glad they're little. At least if you own the house, you are. As I drew in my head and I was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. The coming of Santa. And lastly tonight, and I know you're glad it's almost over, the description of Santa. And I think we get a different picture of him in this text. He was dressed all in fur. I don't know about you. But men who dress in fur, I know it's not politically correct, but I want to tell you what, that's strange to me. Yeah, but there he was. And they don't lie, it's in the book. He was dressed all in fur. And then get this, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but when you read the text carefully, as you have to, you'll find out this is true. It says he was dressed all in fur, and he was dressed that way from his head to his foot. You find that strange? The old boy only had one leg. Yeah, because if he had two, they would have said he was dressed all in, from head to his feet. But no, head to his foot. I never knew that. I don't know about you. Every Santa I've ever seen has had two legs, but this guy only has one. All his clothes were tarnished with ashes and soot. So let's just think about it. He's sort of odd. He's dressed in fur. He only has one leg. And he's dirty. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back. He looked like a peddler just opening his pack. You know what? He was a bum. He was a bum. He only had a pack on his back. A bum. His eyes. Oh, how they twinkled. Yeah. I think because of the fur. His dimple. How merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. I'm not going to go there. Here we're at Keswick, we don't talk about those things. But I want to tell you, this boy is strange. He got a red nose. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. That's kind of interesting to me. Everything else is dirty and sooty, but his beard is white. I don't understand that. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. Now see, this is where, remember back just a few minutes ago where we talked about the leaves and the hurricane blowing around? This boy's smoking in the midst of that. Hey, not thinking. He had a broad face. He had a little round belly. Don't look at me. That shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. You know, I got to stop here because this boy's laughing at Santa Claus. And he's standing there just a cap on his head. I mean, give me a break, you know. I don't know. He said a wink of his eye, there's that fur thing again, and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. That nice. And then, this is kind of interesting, he spoke not a word, but went straight to his work. Now, that's good. But here's a man who could have spoken but didn't. I don't understand that. Why didn't he say something? Well, he saw the guy with that cap on his head. Why didn't he say Merry Christmas or, you know, nothing? And then it said, and filled all the stockings. That's a nice thing to do. And then he turned with a jerk. Did you ever think about that? That's the kind of people he ran away with. Jerks. Now, I know a lot of those kinds of people. But Santa here rode in a sleigh with him. We didn't even know that till here. Evidently, these jerks went with him some way. I don't know. Now, get this. And this is kind of revolting to me a little bit. And I hate to even bring it up in closing, but it's in the book. It's got to be shared. It's got to be said. It's a truth. It says, and laying his finger aside of his nose. Did you ever see anybody do that? I've seen construction workers on a cold day go, ooh, like that. That's what he's doing. He didn't have the decency to use a handkerchief. I don't know. I hope this doesn't, you know, tarnish your thinking about this old boy, but he had problems. He had problems. Anybody that walks around with jerks and, you know, but he sprang to his sleigh. Up the chimney he rose, to his team gave a whistle, and away all they flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him explain. Now you got to understand this, too. Because this might upset some of you tonight, and I don't want to do that. Not my purpose to upset anyone. But he said, I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, Happy Christmas to y'all, and to all a good night. The boy wasn't from the North Pole. He was from the South Pole. I suppose he even liked Southern gospel music. I don't know. But whatever, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
The man is crazy. Like that, and I don't ever get tired of listening to it. We miss him. He's with the Lord and really enjoying the greatest Christmas, yeah. Being in the Lord's presence.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so what's happening?
So, this is like a strange day on the national day list. It's National Roots Day. I guess a tree has to start somewhere.
Okay.
So there's that. And then there's National Pfeffernuss. Day? Do you know what a pfefferneuse is?
Remind me.
I don't even know. Okay. I saw a picture. It's like a cookie.
Oh, okay.
I thought you might be a fan or know.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can research that. Or Anne Louise could do that for us. She'll let us know what it is.
She will.
We love you, Anne Louise.
We love you. New Year's Eve is coming up quick.
6 o'clock, we'll have a service at the Colony Chapel, candlelight service, some worship, and an opportunity to just reflect on the story of Christmas. So you can come to that and enjoy worship with the Colony men and the Barber's Place students.
Yep. And then for New Year's, we have our weekend conference. So it'll be the 31st. We'll have our guests checking in. We'll have a service at 7 o'clock. We'll have the concert at 7 o'clock with the Webb family. Then we'll have our evening service at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we'll do that right into the new year, ring in the new year. And then the following morning, we're going to have a service at 10:30 with each of those services with Dr. Roger Wilmore.
Yeah, he'll be preaching the first message on New Year's Day, first message of our new season.
2023.
The 100th anniversary of our conference ministry.
Amazing.
And what is the theme?
Anchored.
This is a test.
Right?
Right.
Anchored. Faithful through the ages.
Amen.
So we look forward to
it's in Hebrew.
It's in Hebrew.
I don't remember that. But we'll get that for you. So check all that information out on our website, www.americaskeswick.org. Just a reminder, there's just a couple days left of this year to do your year-end giving. Mm. Praise God, we end at 2022 in the black. We have three projects that we need to be doing. They're state-required projects. Work at the dam, which is about $75,000. Replacement of the fire alarm system here in the Ross Memorial, which is $58,000. And the sprinkler system for the activity center, which is $54,000. All of these things are not, it's not like we hope to do them.
Yeah,
we have to do them.
Yeah.
So if you would consider your year-end giving for these projects, call 1-800-453-7942. If you're mailing a gift, it must be postmarked December 31st to count for your taxes for 2022. We appreciate you being here. Have a great weekend. God bless.